Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 15, 3 to 31, the parable of the prodigal and his brother. You will remember that the father divided his property between the two sons. The scripture picks up from there. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And where there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would have gladly filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then he came to himself and he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? And here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The son then said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begun to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, all these years I have worked like a slave for you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you had never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours come back, he who has devoured your property, developed with prostitutes, you kill a fatted calf for him.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I sell a book too. Can I get up here? Oh, I made it. You know, this is a unique experience. I sat there and watched you people and looked at this beautiful building, and it's live, alive, and it's real music, and it's real people. You know, my dog knows that television isn't real. He'll go look at it, and then he says, "That's nothing." He goes, gets on the couch. I have a friend, he says, "I quit going to church, I just watch television." And I told him, "You're making a big mistake. We come here and we praise God and we pray and we sing hymns and we think about the things of God. And there's no other service like this. It's something, you know, if I miss a Sunday, something's wrong. I need that worship area. And we come here and praise and glorify God." And I think that's just wonderful. And I've sensed that already here with this service today. Oh, my. Well, I do want to sell. I'm not a book salesman, but I do want to sell a book. It's Timothy Keller, The Reason for God. He's a Presbyterian minister in Manhattan. He started a church a number of years ago. And it's a really big church. But this is an interesting, for summer reading, I would say get this book, The Reason for God, by Timothy Keller, and it's a New York Times bestseller, whatever that is. I got this one from Christian book distributors. Kroger's or Walmart may have it, and the bookstore over at the Green would probably have it. And I recommend it. It's not expensive. I don't know. It's $15 or so. But I'd like to endorse that. And do you have a hymnal? How many here have a hymnal at home? Wonderful. Everybody ought to have a hymnal. Just sit down and read it once in a while. You've got a lot of prayers and hymns and songs. You ought to have a hymnal. Okay. That's my sales pitch. And this is a difficult position for me. We have an excellent preacher here that should be preaching today. And he's a musician and a singer. I do play the piano. I know two fingers chopsticks. And I know Mary had a little hand. Mary had a little lamb on one hand. That's my piano. I'm not much of a singer. Just ask any in the choir. They'll tell you. No, that's supposed to be funny. This is a familiar story we read about the father and the two sons. And which one was messed up? They were both all. The father, in this story, I think is God. And he was welcomed that son back. And the other son should have been happy too. Go home and read that and study it. Chapter 15 of Luke, which is the lost coin, the lost sheep, and maybe two lost boys, and how you interpret it. Well, I'll tell you another story. It's a certain man. He had two sons. And I knew these people. He was a farmer. He had the most beautiful barn. It was a gambrel type with glazed brick walls. And I think that was one of the most pretty barns. I like barns, and that was one of the most pretty barns I think I ever saw. And he worked hard to get enough money for a down payment to buy a farm. And it's very difficult today for young people to get started into agriculture if you want to be a farmer. Well, there are not too many of you here are interested in farming, but it's a difficult thing. I had a professor years ago in ag college, and he says there's three ways to get a farm. You can inherit it, you can marry it, or you can work for it. And that third way is pretty rough. Well, anyway, he got enough money to buy the farm. It was a nice place, had some rolling land. And this man was a Psalm 1 man. If you read Psalm 1, he was like that. And he prayed over his fields in the spring before he planted. And he walked with the Lord day by day. He was a good Christian man. He had two sons. I saw him grow up. Well, they got into high school, and he made a big mistake. He bought him a car. Now, I'm an old man. I'm getting really old. They remind me of that at the hospital last week. But he bought him a, and I don't think kids in high school should have a car, personally. But I know you'd get a big flack over that. So he bought him a car. And they were rough and tumble big boys, and they were farm boys, and they're pretty nice kids, but they wrecked that car. Tore it all to pieces, and they got banged up a little bit. Well, he bought them another car. And they wrecked that car too. And property damage and insurance and all bunch of stuff. And prices were bad. And he lost the farm. And that was a sad day. They foreclosed on him, and he lost the farm. I'm talking about chapter 11. That's the chapter he was living in. I'm talking about chapters today. I've never been through chapter 11. In fact, I don't even know what chapter 11 is. I'm just using preacher's license as an illustration. Whatever it is, it must be in a book of some kind, but it relates to bankruptcy. And he lost it. Well, he did get a job in town and had to work. He's gone now. The family, there's one son still living. The mother and one son died of cancer, and the old man died just being an old man, I think. One son still living. Had another couple. They had a trucking firm. They had several trucks and drivers, and they lived pretty high. They had a beautiful home, nice cars. They had their own airplane, twin engine. They traveled, but they lived beyond their means, and they lost it all. That chapter 11, whatever that is, pretty devastating. I hope you've never been through that. You read the notice in the paper of the sheriff's sales. There's a lot of heartbreak there where people lost their property and are selling it, and they've lost their job and different things. A lot of heartbreak there. And that's something like that chapter 11. We don't want to live beyond our means. Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. Remember that? You can't serve God or money. Money was made to serve us. We don't want to serve it. But most people are dominated by money. And we watch how we make bargains and how we buy things and how much money we're going to get. And we're on the bottom side of it, where money was made to serve us. You can't serve God and money. Well, I got to move on. There's another chapter. That chapter 11 is kind of creepy. I hope you're not in it. Well, the next chapter is an insidious type of chapter. We're all in it, whether you realize it or not. We're all in this. We were born in this one, and we live in it. It's chapter 3 of Genesis. God made everything beautiful. He was well pleased. Everything was good at the end of chapter 2. He made man, male and female, to dominate the earth. The earth was made for humans to run and take. It was a paradise world, and you know we lost it. It went wrong in chapter 3, and I don't know how you interpreted that. It's a long, long time ago. Moses wrote about it in about 1500 B.C., but that was, it's, to me, it was thousands of years ago. And something happened. And that we interpreted as a serpent with intelligence, and they ate the wrong fruit. You know the story. Whatever that fruit was, wasn't an apple, was it? I don't know. Whatever. But we've all lived in that type of chapter. Right now, all over. I was in the grocery the other day. I do grocery shopping once a week, maybe, to get some bologna and a few things. I'm not much of a cook. Thankful for frozen meals. Anyway, this man had a little boy riding in the cart, and they were shopping, and they had a nice time. And the little boy was smiling, and they was going down the aisle. A little bit later, I saw him on another aisle. That little kid was throwing a fit, jumping up and down and hollering and yelling and screaming. Something didn't go right for him. He didn't get his way. That's chapter 3. That self within us. We all got that self. We all have to deal with that some way or another. That self is selfish, and it'll have its own way. Well, I saw him again a few aisles over. That good daddy had that little boy on his shoulder. The little boy was asleep, and he was pushing the cart along. That was a good daddy. You see how that is, how that works? We had a man from Tasmania years ago. I had a church in Middletown, and we had, through the Board of Discipleship, this guy came, and he was Australian type. I couldn't hardly understand him. And He wanted to see the Air Force. Well, he wanted to see Warren Bumgarner was the superintendent then. He wanted to see Warren Bumgarner, and Warren wasn't there. He didn't get to see him. So we went to the Air Force Museum. He wanted to see that. And we took him to the Air Force Museum, and we looked around at all this stuff. And he was pretty disgusted with it. He says, "That's nothing but war." I said, "Yes, it is, all war." I said, "The history of humanity is war. You read the Old Testament. You read world history. We're all into war. We're right in it now, one way or another. It's just an iffy time, all the time, because we're in chapter 3. There's all kind of problems. You watch the news on the television. How many people are just randomly getting shot? And other people are willfully getting shot. And people are murdered one way or another. People's houses are broken into. The sheriff the other day just said, watch out for looters and scammers. If you had some damage to your house or your property, they'll want a half down payment and you never see them again. So be careful about it. But that's just, we just take this for granted, but that's the way it is with chapter 3. But that's not the way it ought to be. That's not the way God wants it to be, and someday it's going to be better. That's why we come here and worship the Almighty. That's why we sing praises to Jesus, because there's a better future ahead for all of us. Now, that's the chapter 3. It's pretty devastating, and the trouble is we don't seem to know enough to know that we're in it, most people. You know, natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for there's foolishness to him, because they're spiritually discerned. And we see natural man, he's controlled by law enforcement, the judicial system, and sometimes by the military. And they can do pretty much violence. And we're all born that way. That little boy in that cart, he was natural man. He was screaming because he didn't get his way. And how many people go through life just like that, screaming because they didn't get their way? Well, that happens. Well, I want to finish with another chapter. And this is a great chapter. In a way, we're in it now, but in a way, we're not in it. And this chapter, well, you know what chapter it is probably by now. Oh, my, if I can find it, it's in the Bible. You know, this is a remarkable book. It's a remarkable book. You ought to be reading it every day. Read a little bit every day. It's good for you. It's chapter 21 of Revelation. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And this is an interesting verse. There's a few places in Scripture that has this. Then he said to the one on the throne, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." One place where God tells them to write it down. Like the Ten Commandments was written down. There's a few places like that. And that's our hope. You know, there's going to be a time when there's not going to be any more sorrow or tears or death. There's not going to be any more war. There's not going to be any more thievery. There's not going to be any scammers. People are going to be honest. And they'll have the rules written on their heart. And that's a great time. God's going to do that. That's the hope of the Christian in all these things. There's a key to doing that. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a simple key. I used that with people. I remember a man dying in intensive care, and he repeated that, and he wanted to say, yes, I believe that. He died just a few hours over. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the key. Jesus said, behold, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We need to pray these things and think these things in the present culture that we live in. But I look forward to a better day. And there won't be any more tears or sorrow or sickness or plagues or diseases or wars or death. All these things will be gone. And that's going to be a great day. Let's have a moment of prayer. Lord, we look to you today. We're thankful for this assemblage together. Truly, the presence of the Lord was in this place. Thankful for each other, each one here. We ask your blessings on each one and help us to think these things through. We go through these chapters and how that chapter 11 is so devastating to people that's caught in it. We think of chapter 3 that we're in it, and we sense that even in our own psyche, the way we think and the way we behave and the selfishness within us. Lord, forgive. And we look forward to a chapter where all these things will be past and we will be in the presence of God forever and ever. Thankful for this time together and this service in this church today and all of our people, and ask your blessing. Thankful for our good pastor. Inspire him. He keeps going week by week. All these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.